Hey, good morning, guys. You guys doing okay?
Yes.
All right. One thing that Pastor Sam left out was I actually grew up in the city of Detroit, right, like about 10 minutes away. And I remember coming down to Detroit, the downtown area in Detroit, and actually I would hang out here in Wayne State and go to the riverfront and things. I took my wife there last week? And it was pretty fun. And every single time I've come, I've always noticed the Ambassador Bridge. You guys ever see that thing? It's kind of like a blue, tealish thing in southwest Detroit. Connects Detroit with Windsor. And it's amazing. I've actually never been on the Ambassador Bridge. I've lived here like forever, like since I was, you know, 8 or even earlier, 7, 6. And I've never been on the Ambassador Bridge. But what I do know is that it connects the city of Detroit, the country, United States, with Windsor, the city of Windsor, and the country of Canada. Right? And as a kid, I would like always look over the river and be like, man, I wish I could go and see what's on that side of the river. I don't know if you ever felt that way, like just hanging out in Detroit and be like, oh, I wonder what's going on over there. It's so close. You can actually see cars driving and people walking around, but you can't get to it. And I was thinking, like, maybe it would be nice to go visit it at some point. Well, today we're going to talk about that very thing, not the city of Windsor, but we're going to talk about bridges and how bridges help us get from one place to another, how for a lot of times we can actually be so close to that thing that we want, but we can't get it unless there's something that covers the distance for us, allows us to cross over from where we are to where we want to be, right? And you might have experienced that, maybe not with cities, but with other things. Maybe it's like something like money. You go to the store, and like everything there costs money, and there's money everywhere, but you have no money. Oh my gosh, just help God, someone, anybody, help me get some money. Maybe it's something more physical, like a place to stay, right? Like, oh man, I'm just looking for this apartment, I'm looking for this house, and it looks like there's houses everywhere, but how can I not get a house? I just need someone to help me get from here to there. Well, bridges are essential for that, and what I would like to talk about specifically is the city that we are in, which is this Detroit. And then there is this other city, which not everybody sees. It's the city of God, right? The Bible talks about it in Revelations. If you have your Bibles, you can just really quickly. I'm not going to hang out here too long, but I'm going to just point it out to you guys. Revelations chapter 21, it talks about a new city. Revelations 21, verses 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God." Right? So there's this new city, and we are actually allowed to go to this new city. And I'm not just kind of talking metaphorically, but this new city is the relationship that we have with God. We are right now in this present moment, we can kind of transcend our situation and connect with the resources and the provisions that this new city gives us. And some of the resources and the provisions that this new city gives us is freedom, life. I'm not talking about just like you are breathing life, but I'm talking about this like eternal, supernatural, like really, really fulfilling life that you can only get access through if you have this bridge. And not all of us have this bridge, but I'd like to talk more about this bridge and how it's made and the components of this bridge. And this is perhaps more like, it's not like a physical bridge that you can't touch it per se, but there are elements that compose this bridge. And I'm going to do this by taking us way, 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 way back to the Old Testament in this book called Amos. Amos. Right? So how many of you guys know where Amos is? If you have a Bible, a physical Bible, right? Okay, well, if you have a physical Bible, we're going to play a real quick game. Without using the table of contents, open up your Bibles to Amos. Ready, begin. Really? Wow, good job, Melania. Really? Melania played this. It's not fair. She's got practice. Okay, so we're going to look at the book of Amos, and I'm going to do something a little bit ambitious. I'm going to try to cover the whole book of Amos, specifically through the section Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. So Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. I'm going to give you the full context of Amos, and then we're going to zero in on Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. There's this really great website called Bible Gateway, and if you just type in Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 25 in your internet browser, it'll zip you right there. But let me cover the whole book, give you guys the context of what's going on in the book of Amos. Melania, you can be flipping to the pages and read through as I just kind of go over the book of Amos. But everybody else, you can just listen. So in the book of Amos, there is a prophet. His name is Amos. He's a shepherd, right? Amos chapter 1 describes the situation. He's a shepherd in this little town in the southern portion of the southern kingdom. So he lives here, the bottom, right, at an area called Tekoa. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correct. Tekoa, or I'm not sure. But he is called to go into the other kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. And he's called to go there to speak to a king, King Jeroboam. And he's called to go there to give a message to King Jeroboam. And it's not an easy message. Now, if you know anything about kings in ancient days, right, they've got a lot of power and they can kill you if they want to. But he's being sent by God, the king of heaven, right, the king of this other, the other kingdom, a bigger kingdom. And the message that he sent specifically to give to Jeroboam is, Jeroboam, hey, look, you have done some really evil things, right? You've done some really evil things. Specifically, what Jeroboam has done is, Jeroboam, who's supposed to be a king of, you know, one of God's kingdoms, Israel, right? Jeroboam has created alliances with other countries. Now, alliances aren't generally bad, right? So, like, the U.S. has a bunch of alliances. But what Jeroboam has done is he's created these alliances specifically so that he can, one, gain money, and two, get access to these other idols. And I don't know if he's wanted one or the other, but he's created these alliances so that he can build relationships with other kingdoms. And then he takes those gods and he brings them into his own kingdom and uses them instead of worshiping the true God. Now, not only has he done this, but he's actually become very, very wealthy through this process. And because he's become really wealthy, he's actually begun to get really apathetic, and he's kind of neglecting the poor. And as this all is going about, God sends Amos to him, and God says, Amos, you need to go talk to this king, and you have to give him judgment, right? And so Amos chapter 3 kind of rolls us into this whole scene, and Amos shows up and says, hey, Jeroboam, and all the people of God in this area, God's judgment is coming on you, and it's going to be bad. God's going to destroy almost everything, right? Which, as we know in history, right, that God does come. He sweeps through this region with the Babylonians and destroys almost everything. And the ruins of what is left, this is what happens, right? In Amos chapter 9, God says, hey, and this is the very thin silver lining after all of this destruction. God says to Jeroboam, or to the people of God in this area, he says that he will, out of the ruins, begin to build a new kingdom, right? He will begin to build a new kingdom. So really quickly, just kind of recap. Amos is sent from the southern kingdom, right? One part of this kingdom, right, which is governed by a different king, to the northern kingdom. He's sent with a really difficult message. The king is told that God's judgment has come on him and the people. And finally, after all of this, that after all of the judgment and the destruction, that God will give the city hope. And that hope will actually lead to a new kingdom. Hopefully you're following with me. Why am I talking about all this stuff? Does it even matter to you? Well, it does matter to us because we're going to learn from this story about how God desires to bring his kingdom into the world that we live in. How he desires to do that is actually to build a bridge. How does God plan to connect his church or his kingdom to the city that we live in? That's the guiding question. How does God plan to connect his church to the city that we live in? And when God connects the church that we are part of to the city that we are in, what will happen is we will get many things from this. One of those things, as I shared, is life. Life eternal. Right? Ability to overcome every situation, this fearlessness when we are confronted with death and destruction. Another thing that we are going to get as we are connected to this life eternal is we're going to get God's presence, right? God's presence, and this is a present that comforts us, that it encourages us. Another thing that we get is we get freedom, right? We get freedom from all the things that entangle us emotionally. And it's not just a spiritual thing either. It's not just like pie in the sky, like makes you think differently, see differently. It's actually also, when we are connected to the kingdom of God, we get health, right? We get material possession. Now, you guys might become like, whoa, hold on, Pastor Tufu. This is kind of weird, right? Now, what I'm not talking about is I'm not talking about riches. You're not going to be like a millionaire. And I'm not talking about your cancer is going to be cured, although that might happen, right? What I'm talking about is when we connect it to God, the things, the general surrounding of our area, right, it grows in its capacity to care for the poor. It grows in its capacity to care for the sick. The kingdom of God has this quality that when we connect to it, all of these other parts that are needed are addressed in this very natural way. How does this work? What are you talking about, Pastor Duffy? Are you talking about like people are just going to come and pass out dollar bills? Not quite, right? Are you talking about people just going to be shaking Tylenol pills, you know, everywhere? Not quite, right? How has this happened over the course of history? In a lot of developing countries, for example, people have experienced God so powerfully that when they are confronted with poverty, when they're confronted with sickness, what have they done? They have given sacrificially. Like doctors, instead of getting a job at a nice hospital that gives them good benefits, have moved to places that offer them no comforts, and they've given themselves, right, to the work of healing people, people who have money, right? They have started businesses that allow not just them to profit, but other people to profit. Now, the kingdom of God is such that when people sacrifice and they give, right, there is this flourishing that happens. And that is part of the bridge that God is desiring to give us. And he's calling us not just to sit on the other side to receive, right, to get the health care and the, you know, financial benefits and the spiritual benefits, but this church and every church in the city of Detroit is being called to be a part of the bridge building process. We are called to build a bridge that allows our neighbors and the people who live around us to get access to life, real life. Okay, so you guys still with me? Give me a thumbs up if you're in there with me. All right. And we're going to do this by reading through Amos chapter 5. Verses 18 to 25. I got three really quick points for us, and here's the outline of it. We're going to talk about the bridge we build must have integrity. Like, nobody wants to be on a bridge and fall through. So the bridge that we build has to be a bridge that is built on integrity. Right? We don't want to, like, bait and switch someone. You know, if you've never heard that term, bait and switch, it means we promise them this thing like, hey, come out to life group. We've got food, right? And they come out and you go, hey, would you like to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? And like, whoa, hold on there. I just came for Doritos. You know, that's, it has to be, this church that we build has to be built on integrity, right? The people can't feel like we're just trying to convince them of something. They actually have to say, as they're walking along this path, be like, wait a minute, this is actually firm and solid ground. Everything that is being said here is valid, right? I'm not going to fall through. I can trust this. Not only that, but the bridge we build is for God. Now, originally, I just told Pandrew to change this, but it was originally for pedestrians. So I was thinking about this. I'm like, no, this bridge is not for people. This bridge is for God, right? Like, people can walk across this bridge. But the purpose of this bridge, right, every design, right, has kind of a person in mind. The purpose of this bridge, the person that was in mind when God was building this bridge, it was himself. That seems pretty selfish for him, right? That God is building a bridge for himself to cross, right? But when we look at this, we're going to discover that the reason why God is building a bridge for himself is because he doesn't want us to misuse this bridge, right? There are many ways that we can benefit and gain things from this bridge. If we build, for example, a bridge and we put a toll on it, we can kind of filter out who comes and ends and goes in and out, right? God's like, no, we're not having any of that, right? This is for me. I get to control it, right? I get to, you can use it, but this is really for me, right? The purpose of this is for God's glory. It's not for Pastor Sam. It's not for me. It's not for your leaders. You know, it's not that offering that we collected. It's not so that someone makes a bunch of money from that. Like, that's, if that's what the case is, then this is not integrity anymore, right? This is for God, that the things that we do, the serving, caring, right, giving to the poor, right, taking care of the sick, that can't be about the doctors or the businessmen. That's got to really be about God, okay? So this whole thing, this bridge that God is wanting us to build, is for God. And finally, the last point that I'm going to make is the bridge we build must connect people to God. Right? Not only is it for God, right, but it has to have this purpose of connecting people to God. Like, we're not just building a shrine and saying, okay, that's for you, God. No, the purpose is so that people can get connected to God. Right, this bridge that we're building is so that people can get connected to God. And the question is, what are the materials that we're going to use to build this bridge? And that's what I want to talk about today. Amos chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. I'm going to read it really quickly. Broke it up into three sections. And we're going to read it, talk about it, extract some things out of it. And then hopefully we can take those things and apply it to our life. It reads, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day? Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? Now, give you guys some context. This is Amos, he's speaking, and there are these people in the northern kingdom that are really excited about the day of the Lord, because in their minds, the day of the Lord is like a celebration when the everything changes, the two kingdoms come together, right? But Amos says, hey, hold on here. There's a little bit more to that, right? Because it's a day of darkness, meaning that a lot of how you operate and go through the world, it changes, right? And it's going to be this confrontation of light and dark. But not only does he talk about that, but he begins to talk about this misconception that people have about God, right? And the reason that people have this misconception about God is because the kings of the northern kingdom have created like this false understanding of God. Now, let me give you guys a little bit of background. Jeroboam, right, he separates from the southern kingdom, or not him, but the Israelites in the northern kingdom separate. And what they do is they begin to say, hey, we are creating this civil division between the country, and we have to now create a new center of worship. Now, their city or their country is a little bit different from ours. Like, now you can go to any church, but back in the Old Testament, there was only one temple where you were allowed to worship, and it was in Jerusalem. And that was, the city of Jerusalem was in the southern region. And because of that, Jeroboam was like, wait, hold on now. If we have our people going to the south to worship, they're going to be heavily influenced by that other part of our country that we don't want them going to. Right? Think about like the American Civil War. We had the North and the South, right? Imagine if everybody in the North had to go down to the South to get something that was really important, right? For the people of God at this time, they had to go to the South to go to worship and to go to the place of where they gave their offerings. And so Jeroboam, right, like his people go, wait, you know what? We're going to build two temples, one in this city of Dan and one in Bethel. Okay, and that seems like not a big deal, right? But it is actually a very big deal. Because what they are doing is they're creating a counterfeit experience for the people of God in the north. And the sin that they commit, there are three sins that we're going to talk about. The first sin that they commit is they create these temples, right? These temples that are not for God. What do they do in these temples that are not for God? Well, they begin, you remember I shared about Jeroboam and how he created alliances with all these neighboring countries or neighboring kingdoms. Well, he goes and he brings their idols and puts them in the temple in Bethel and Dan. He takes and he goes and gets all these other gods and he begins to collect them in his temples. And he begins to worship them. Like some of us, we're not Christian. We go, what's the big deal? I mean, like, your God, my God. You know, who cares? It's a God, right? But this is a very big deal, and I'll explain why. So gods are not just, like, invisible, like, imaginary things, but these gods actually have certain, they are associated with certain things. And so if I could just have, Andrew, if you could put up that little diagram I have here. Oh, you didn't diagram it? Do you have a... Oh, here. Okay, so if you guys look, on the left-hand side, there are the gods, and on the right-hand side of this is the quality that they have. And so these are the idols that were brought in, or the gods that were brought into these two new temples. One was Asherah, right? And Asherah was the god of sex. Right. Another one was Anat, and Anat was the god of war. And then there was Baal, right, which is the god of weather, right, or wealth. And you're like, oh, what's the big deal? Like, Pastor Tufu, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that's okay, right? God of sex, god of war, god of weather. Well, the thing is, none of these gods actually have the people's interests in mind, right? These gods, if you worship these gods, they don't lead to people living healthier lives. They don't lead to people who are poor being taken care of. All of these gods have very self-centered focuses, right? God of sex, right? God of war, God of wealth. All of these have to do with power, okay? And if you guys are thinking to yourselves, oh, that's weird. I mean, that's kind of something that happened in the past. These idols, maybe not these gods specifically, but these idols have continued till today. And let me explain how that works, right? Like for the god of sex, right? Or the idol, how we idolize sexuality. If you are very attractive, right? If you're able to get other people to see your appeal, then you have real power. Now, what about all of the rest of us who kind of look very homely, right? Like, we actually have no power. We are manipulated, right? Like, we end up buying things for the girls that we like, and then we get nothing in return. Like, what about the God of War? Like, I mean, that's kind of weird, right? Maybe that's just something that happened way back in the day. But how, is it relevant to us? What happens if we worship the God of War today? Now, the God of War looks like physical power, right? Or authority or ability to bully someone. Now, people, they don't say they worship it, but it is something that people idolize, the ability to control, right? To manipulate someone with sheer force, right? Or the threat of force, right? If you just go on like Instagram, you'll definitely see like people idolizing sexuality. You also see people idolizing power, right? Like people talking about like how strong they are, right? Maybe like you remember that kid in high school who like would push around all of the computer nerds, right? Like that is what happens when you idolize the God of war or power, right? That is still an idol that people hold on to, right? Now, just because you have muscles, right, doesn't mean that you're idolizing power, right? But what I'm saying here is that it is something that people desire. And if we begin to worship at this altar of power, it does not lead to us building the right bridge. Right? It doesn't lead to us building a bridge that connects people to God. The last one, the God of weather, Baal. Now, Baal is weird because it's weather, and you guys have to follow me here, but they would worship this God of weather because if they worshiped and they had sacrifices to this God, what would happen is this God would give them good crops. Good crops mean that you're able to provide for your family. Really good crops mean that you have money, you're rich, right? And it was about wealth. Now, that doesn't really relate to us today now, does it? Like, nobody really cares about money today. Like, that's actually one of the biggest idols that we have. I've been spending my whole week trying to figure out how I can make extra cash so that my wife and I, like, we don't have to work so hard. I'm like, oh, Grace, maybe we can come with passive ways to earn money so that we can live healthy and wealthy and, like, not have to work so hard. This is a problem not only for you guys. It's a problem for me, right? We really want this thing. And so we start idolizing people who have a lot of money. We find ways, right, to give our time to this thing. We make sacrifices so that we can get money back, right? And money in itself is not bad, per se, but what happens is if you worship it, it becomes bad. It doesn't lead to justice and mercy and love, right? None of these things do. Like, they promise security, they promise control, they promise all these things, but they don't. Deliver. They don't deliver. Right? The bridge that we build must be a bridge that is built on integrity. There has to be something about it that says, hey, you can trust in this. Now, what does this look like? As we look at this, the bridge that we build is a bridge that is built on serving others. As we are trying to connect people to the reality of God's kingdom, it has to actually be built on love, right? It actually has to be built on honesty. So we have to learn to serve, and we have to speak truth, right? That is the only way that Christians, right, can build a bridge that connect people who are not Christians to God. What does that look like? So in the Bible, it talks, you might be familiar, there's a story of the Good Samaritan, right? And what happens is there's a man who was injured on the side of a road, and several people pass him, and at the end, the person who ends up giving to him is a man from an area called Samaria. He's from the area of Samaria. And so the whole idea there is like, wait a minute, Like, the guy who's injured is Jewish, but the guy who helped him is from, like, this alternate place, right, that's competitive, or, like, you know, they're not on friendly terms. And the thing that allows that man, the Samaritan, to be considered a neighbor is because he loved him, right? And so as we begin to build this bridge, what good is it if we only build it for people who look like us? You know, check your skin tone, right? Are you just building a church for people who look like you, or are you building a church for everybody? Right? Are you wanting just the people who look like you to have access to God, or do you want everybody that God loves to have access to this? Right? There has to be integrity, right? We have to make sure that we're being honest, you know, like that we're distributing all that God has equally to the people who he loves. There needs to be this faithful service. Can we promise? Pinky promise, stick your pinky out for me. Pinky promise, we're going to build a church for people who look not just like me, but for everybody. Okay, shake your pinky like that. Awesome. Thank you. And then we also have to build a church that is built on the words that we say. We have to speak truth. Right? Now, I got to, you know, put a little caveat on this, because some of us be speaking too much truth. Like, man, that dress look ugly on you, girl. Like, that kind of truth, right? What I have learned is there's ways to speak truth in love, right? So here's one thing. It was my trick. My wife is sitting here in front of me. But this is my trick that I do when she's got something on that is not that appealing. I go, wow, that's a good dress, but I really like the black one. The black dress is much better. You see how I said the same thing? But I said it with, one I said with love, and the other one I said it with sleeping on the couch, right? Like, that's not going to work for me, right? So we have to speak the love. We speak the truth, but we have to speak it in love. Okay, my second point. I'm dragging on here a little. But the bridge that we build is for God. I talked a little bit about this. It can't be for people. It can't be about you. It's got to be about God. And that, I'm getting this from Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. Follow along with me as I read it. It reads, I despise your feast. This is God talking to the people. And I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your hearts, I will not listen. What is God talking about here? Okay, let me explain this. So back in the day, for people to worship God, what they would do is they would take these animals and bring it to the altar and sacrifice them and say, hey, God, you deserve everything in my life, right? And so here's a little bit of the things I've been working on. Like, today we have tithes because we don't have sheep and cattle, you know, to offer. We just go, hey, I made this much money, you get 10% of it. But back in the day, they didn't have checks and they didn't have cash, right? So they would just take their animals, offer it on the altar, right? Additionally, what happened in this particular region, right, is that they would have these, like, these crazy feasts and festivals. Now, these are not religious festivals. Some of them might have been, but these religious festivals were, like, not really, like, you know, not prescribed by Scripture. And so they're going and they're having all these feasts and they're, like, making all these sacrifices and they're singing all these songs. And on one hand, it actually looks like church, right? The people who maybe know a little bit about religious activity, they go, hey, this feels good. Like, it feels like church. It feels like we're doing something right. But in actuality, they were doing it wrong. Right? So for the people, the reason it looked right, because it had all the forms. It passed the eyeball test. It was like, oh, hey, yeah, that kind of feels good. Like, I'm giving, you know, I'm meeting with people. But the problem was that it was not for God. It was not for God. And the reasons that they were doing all these things was for themselves, right? That's such a tricky thing. The sin that they were committing, sin number two here, was that they were building temples and having feasts for their personal gain. It's really easy for us to build a bridge on this faulty, using this faulty material, Right? And we have to actually check the quality of the material to make sure that you're building it correctly. And how you do this is you have to examine your hearts. You have to check and have God check your motives. Right? He has to actually look at your intention. And you might be thinking, Pastor Tufu, man, these folks are lame. That's not me, that's them, right? Like, I'm a good person. See, I showed up at church today. Well, we actually do some of these things. Right? We can actually have all the forms of being, right, a good Christian. We can look like we're working really hard to build this bridge, but what's happening is the material we use it's not the best material. It's going to fail. What happens if I build a bridge from here to Canada using popsicle sticks? Right? I could work really hard, y'all. I could put several days into it. It's not going to last. Right? It's not going to accomplish what I want. And the only way we figure this out is actually we have to test the quality. Right? Is this whole bridge building, getting people connected to God, is this about me or is it about God? Now, how we deceive ourselves is, you know, we show up to church and we give offerings, right? So you can actually give your tithe and you can give it, but really have that be about you. Like, everybody looking? Okay, I put it in. I put my offering in. Y'all saw? I was faithful, right? We can also do this by really wanting just the recognition. You know, like those of us who serve, we like, you brought a tray of cookies on to life group and you go, hey, look, guys, I brought a tray of cookies, right? And it's really not about feeding people and helping there to be community, but it's really about you looking a certain way. And we got to check our hearts. Now, people will still enjoy your cookies, right? They'll still have a good time. But the problem is it's not worship at that point. You're not building something that leads people to God. You're building something that leads people to you, right? Like people go, yay, we worship Tufu, his cookies are awesome, right? What would it look like if we went through life and we said, hey, you know, I'm trying to do this so that you get connected to God? What that would look like is that you wouldn't do the whole, like, you know, like, I don't know what the baseball players do, or you thank Jesus, right? But what that would look like is you would do not just the cookies, but anything you could to get that person to experience God, right? If it meant like staying late after work just to care for a person, if it meant like, oh, I see this person is having a really hard time, right? No one's going to know, but I'm going to pray for them, right? Like that kind of stuff, the stuff that you don't get recognition for, like that stuff is invaluable. That's the kind of stuff that's building the bridge to God's kingdom. And not only that, but building the bridge, the type of things that connect you to God are things that require genuine, heartfelt worship. The difference between singing and worship, the difference is that one is about you like saying words to a tune. That's singing. Right? Worship is you are projecting it. You are offering it to God. You're singing it to God. Now, that's the difference, guys. It's very simple. No one will actually notice the difference in this room. Right? We could actually have the same volume. The music could actually be better, you know, if we just do this for ourselves because we don't want to sound horrible. And so we're singing, you know, on tune. Right? But worship means that you're giving it to God. When you sing it to God. To God. It changes. Right? So you can give, for example, I can give a generic gift. Like, I don't know if you've ever gotten, like, a journal for your birthday. It's just kind of, people, like, stack up a bunch of journals in their house, I guess. They just re-gift those journals that they get. Right? Or you got, like, that mug. You're like, I don't know. I got so many of these. Hey, happy birthday. You just give that away. It's not even about the person. It's just about you giving that thing away, right? Going through the motions. Well, that's not what God wants in worship. God doesn't want the motion. He wants like that heartfelt, like, hey, I thought about this. I really want to bless you. I want these people to see you, right? This bridge I'm building, I actually want people to cross over so they can meet you. I don't just want to look busy, you know, because I don't want people judging me, right? This is really about having not only integrity, but having it for God. All right, my last point is the bridge we build must connect people to God, right? It must connect people to God. So if we're here like 2 years from now and it's just all the same folks, you know, we're having a great time, like we know when everybody's birthday is, we're enjoying ourselves, right? We got inside jokes, right? But nobody new's coming in. We're not really trying because that it makes things too complicated. It's awkward. We ain't building a bridge, right? We're building something else, but it's not a bridge. Now let's take a look at Amos chapter 5, 24 to 25. This is the last section, and then I won't close this thing out. But this is what happens in Amos, right? So God is like rebuking and talking to his people and saying, hey, y'all check your hearts. Make sure you do this for the right reasons. This is really hard. Like if I'm going to come down, this is y'all going to be exposed. And then he closes it out with this. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Now, what he's saying is, he's saying, hey, I want you to pause for a second. Think back. When you were walking through the desert and I provided for you supernaturally manna, right? And when you had nothing, you had no water, you had nothing, you had only the pair of sandals that you wore, did those fade because you treaded gently, right? Did you get water because you were smart and able to dig out water from, you know, the ground? No, you got this supernaturally. I took care of this. This was grace. This was undeserved grace. That word grace means undeserved, right? This was because I wanted to give it to you. And not only that, but he says, hey, you can't stop this. This is justice, and it will roll like a river. And what the blessing that you get, it will come from me. And the purpose of this blessing, right, is to connect my people to me. Now, God, he's very serious about this. And he's concerned about, the reason he's concerned is because he's concerned about integrity. He's concerned about who this is for, and he's concerned about how it is done. The way that we do this, the way we connect people to God, you know, that question, is we do it with justice. Justice. You don't do it, right, by providing the best refreshments, although like that will get people in the door. You don't do that with the greatest preaching, although that will keep people entertained. You don't do that by the best music, although people will clap more if you're singing well, right? But you do it with justice. Because guess what? Everybody else in the world, they don't care about our music, right? They don't care. We can find better cookies somewhere else, right? There's better speakers than the preachers we have in our pulpits, right? Thank you, Pastor Sam. But how we do this is we build this bridge on justice. We build it on justice. Everything I've been saying, hopefully it's like connecting for you, like integrity, making sure this is for about God, right? It's about goodness and what is right. But when I say justice, I think some of us hear it wrong. I think when I say justice, what some of us hear is, oh, it's about judgment. We hear, you know, we kind of paint over justice with the American justice system or the justice system from whatever country we're coming from. And we don't hear this correctly. And so I want to explain to you justice. Now, on one hand, justice is about judgment. But on the other hand, justice has a broader stroke. It actually is talking about a lot more. Justice is about giving people what they deserve. Right? It is about giving people what they deserve. When God is building this bridge, he says, I'm going to build it using justice. Now, how does that look like in our context? Let me ask you a question. Do people deserve freedom? That's a not a hypothetical question. Do people deserve freedom? Yes. So if we go free people, right, we are doing justice. Do people deserve, I don't know, let's say a good education? Or, you know, can we just put a crappy, you know, school system together and, you know, say, hey, attend this and stay out of, you know, my way, right? There's a babysitting program. Do people deserve a real good education system where they actually learn and can ask questions or not? Yeah, they do, right? We can show the world around us the justice of God by providing them the things that are owed them. Okay? And there's a million things, right? Do people deserve jobs that are fulfilling, right? Do they deserve, like, I don't know, people who love them? Do they deserve, I don't know, basic necessities, food? Do they deserve health care? Do they deserve to be able to sleep at night without being afraid that someone's going to break into their house? Yeah. Yeah, they do. We, as the body of believers, as Christians, we build a bridge for people to actually go and see God by using this key component, justice. We do this with justice. And when people can see that these people genuinely love God and they're genuinely wanting us to see who he is by building a platform that is honest and it is good and is just, do you think they would not want to test out that bridge to see what's on the other side? Yes, they would. As we look at this verse, there are a couple other things that I want to glean out of this. God is wanting his people to know him. Right? There was one obstacle, or many obstacles, but one in particular. It was Jeroboam, and he prevented the people from seeing God. Why did he do this? Because he was seeking to profit. There was personal gain tied up in this, right? And this hopefully should convict you as it has convicted me. Is church about the people who run it, right? If it is, it's not church anymore, right? Is church about the, I don't know, the offering, like how much we collect? No. If it is, then it's not church anymore. Right? Church is the body of believers come together to worship God, come to serve the least and the lost, and if it becomes anything else, then we have jeopardized the integrity of the church. One last thing. I'm just going to sprinkle this on. This is a big one. This is a big sprinkle, right? But if you look very closely at this verse, you discover that God's plan is actually to bring justice and have it roll like a river. And how is it going to be rolling like a river? Well, you and I are that river. We are part of the makeup, and we will not be stopped. The way that God brings this justice is that he introduces us to his grace, to his undeserved love. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you could experience life, so that you could be forgiven of your sin. You taste that, you touch it, and all of a sudden your life, right, is transformed and you cannot be stopped. You look at the least, you look at the lost, and you go, they need this as well. I will do anything I can to ensure that they get the things that they need. You cannot stop me. You see poor people, and you go, no, 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 this cannot be. I need to take care of this. You see hungry people, and you go, no, no, no. See, I've gotten everything I have for free. Right? God's love, this life, you cannot stop me from taking care of that person who's hungry. I will sell my clothes to make sure that guy gets something to eat. That sacrifice is a rolling river. It is the justice of God spreading into the city around us. One thing, before I get to the one thing, if you're new here, we do this one thing, we say one thing, it wraps up everything. Right? But before I get to there, I don't know if you guys have picked up the verse that I was using here. It's actually a very famous verse, used in another sermon by a much better speaker. I know I heard this guy, Martin Luther King. Right, you guys remember that? So in his I Have a Dream speech, he actually speaks about Amos chapter 5. And Pandra, did you get it? Or did you like? Yeah, you did. Okay. So in his sermon, as he's sharing the How I Have a Dream speech, he talks about the injustices, racial injustices in the U.S. in the 1960s, right? And as he's talking about this, he talks about this dream that he has, that one day, right, there will be this this thing that is restored to African-American people. Or, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. He says Negro, right? I can't. Thanks, Crystal. Right? Justice rolls down like waters, yes, and the righteousness like a mighty stream. What he's doing is he is using Amos to restore something to African-American people, right, that they have not had, that has been taken from them. He's saying, we will have our dignity, we will have our freedom, we will have, right, the justice that God has given us. We have this. It is our right. I want it back, and you cannot stop it because the justice of God is going to roll it into my life. Justice. This is the very thing that God uses to restore lost people to himself, to build this bridge to him. And the one thing, God's grace restores his relationship to us and people, to relationship to lost people, and he connects the church to the city. It is his grace. His grace gives us the justice. I got two application questions for us. The first one, who is your neighbor? Who is the person standing on the other side of the shore and saying, oh man, I wonder what it looks like on that side? Who is your neighbor? They probably don't look like you. Maybe they do, right? But your neighbor is anyone. Anyone who is sitting on this side who needs God. They can even be Christians. They just need God, right? Take a second. Think through all the people who come in your life, in and out of your life. Who needs to cross to the other side? And I want you to ask this other question. How can you show them God's grace? How can you show them God's grace? Something that they don't realize they don't deserve, but that God has provided for them. How can you show them the justice of God? What is the thing that they are needing, and how can we deliver it to them? That is how we build a bridge for people around us. Let's take a second, reflect on these questions. And if I could just ask the worship band to come up. And as we're reflecting on these questions, I'm going to let that settle in and then toss out one last prayer request for you guys, and we'll close out our time together. Okay? Maybe some of you guys are sitting there thinking like, hey, cool story, bro, but I actually don't know what you're talking about. Like, this is all new to me. And what if I could just rephrase it, that bridge analogy, you know, sitting on one side of the bridge, the land, and looking over the river and thinking, oh man, I want to go to that other side, right? That is really about us meeting God. And that bridge, you know, grace and justice and all that jazz, right? That is actually manifested for us in a person. And that person that allows us to go from here to there, that person, his name is Jesus Christ. And we can actually cross over from where we are right now, not only get the benefits of life and love and all that stuff, but we can actually get the benefit of meeting God if we choose to cross that bridge. And it's a very simple thing to do. You say, Jesus, you're real. I know it. I feel it. As Pastor Tufu has been speaking, I know that there is something else for me. Would you allow me to cross over? Take me over. And Jesus actually paid your price. He paid the ticket for you to cross this bridge. He paid it with the most expensive thing he could have done. He gave himself for the sins that you have committed, for the injustices in your life. And now, in this moment, you can actually cross. You can actually come and know the Father. If you would like to do that, just take a second and say, Dear God, dear Jesus, would you forgive me for my sins and allow me to meet you in person, to have a life that is pure? For others of us, as we've been reflecting on this, we've just been thinking streams and streams of people, brothers, sisters, neighbors, aunts, uncles, parents even. And we've been thinking to ourselves, how do I build justice? I don't know. How do I be a part of this plan? The most important thing that you need to do is worship. You just need to come genuinely and say, hey, this is really about you. Another thing that you need to do is you have to ask Jesus to use you. Hey, this cannot be stopped. It's like a river. Like we don't make the river go. It just goes. We just hop in, right? And for us, what that means first is for us to come genuinely before God, and as we sing, as we worship, for us to make our songs something different, to make it praise to God, to give it to God. And so if I could just have a stand. And before we worship, if you could just say to God in a quiet prayer, just loud enough for you to hear, say, hey, God, I'm going to give you this song, and I want to sing it to you because you deserve it. And just pray that quietly in your heart, and our worship team will lead us in a song.